This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
What up, everybody? It's Ana Maria here. Now, Felix is out on vacation this week, which means I was tasked with the amazing opportunity, of finding you all the most exciting, most amazing, most informative of rerun episodes. And this episode that I'm bringing you this week is really a good one. It's about the Cuban roots of rock and roll. Now, I've got to tell you, this one really blew my mind. Felix has taught me all kinds of things over the years, but this one specifically, I mean, you would have never expected it, I think. So I hope you give it a listen, and I hope it surprises you as much as it did me. Told it to the side, baby, diamond ring.
This is All Latino. I'm Felix Gonzalez. As part of our continuing special programming for Latino Heritage Month, we're going to look at the heritage of rock and roll. There are plenty of oral histories and scholarly works indicating the various musical traditions that went into the earliest days of rock and roll. And let's give that a timestamp. When I say the early days of rock and roll, I'm talking about the mid-1950s. Blues, country music, folk music, religious or spiritual music, you can hear traces of all of that. But what you also hear is Latin music, specifically music from the Spanish-speaking Caribbean. This week, we're going to do a deep dive into that history. And I've invited some special guests to help me out. But before we get to that, let's finish listening to the world's most famous example of the Bo Diddley song by Bo Diddley from 1955. And we're listening to the music of Bo Diddley and a song called Bo Diddley, a performer whose real name was Ellis McDaniel. Joining me this week are two people with whom I could talk for hours about music, but we're going to limit it today. Joining us from WBGO in Newark, multi-Grammy nominated drummer, percussionist, educator, radio host, and good friend of mine, Bobby Sanabria. Bobby, welcome.
Hey, Felix, what's happening, man? Always good to hear your voice, man.
This is happening, man. Rock and roll's happening.
You got it.
And here in the Alt Latino World headquarters, we're joined in the studio by Lauren Anke, whose official title is Senior Director of NPR Music. But she's also a walking encyclopedia of rock and roll history, and we've had many, many conversations. Lauren, welcome to Alt Latino.
Thank you, Felix. It is so great to be with you on this mic for the first time.
Okay. Bobby, in as few words as possible, explain the Bo Diddley rhythm and its relationship to Cuban music.
Are you serious? In as few words as possible?
Because we could, you and I know we could do a PhD dissertation on that.
Of course. Yeah. Well, driving the Bo Diddley rhythm, as many people outside of the realm of Latin music call it, is really the clave of song, which is the main rhythm. It's the cornerstone. It's the foundation of a style of Cuban music from the eastern part of Cuba called song, which is the foundation of what we call salsa. Song is like the folk song tradition, and it got morphed into what we call salsa today, which is the way we play Cuban music with a New York attitude in the city. So underneath that, what Bo Diddley is singing, you hear the drummer playing. Now that rhythm, most people associate it with, obviously, Cuba, but of course, it's our direct tie to West Africa, because even though the rhythm we can count it in four beats, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, we can also count it in six beats. One, two, three, four, five, six, 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 king, 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 king. That's a bell rhythm in what we call 6/8 meter, but in 4/4, and in Bo Diddley, so there it is, as we would say in the Bronx, all that and a bag of chips.
Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to play some other rhythms
that the 3-2 clave is part of, and you can point that out so we can have a reference back to the Bo Diddley rhythm. But right now I want to play three short examples of other bands that use that beat. This is a song called Willie and the Hand Jive from 1958 by Johnny Otis. I mean, just on its own, it's an irresistible groove, man.
That's right.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, that Bo Diddley was released in 1955, so it really is there at the beginning of this rock and roll explosion, and it becomes absolutely irresistible across the 50s with a number of other artists. They grab onto that beat like it's the mother load of the music.
And parenthetically, 1955 is what? The height of the Mambo era in the United States, and also during the time period when transistor radios are finally coming into the hands of young white kids down south who can now listen to black music outside of the privy of their homes in secret and in their, amongst themselves. As Lauren said, it starts permeating throughout the country. So there is a direct connection, obviously, with Latin music, particularly from Cuba, obviously, and of course through New Orleans, because New Orleans is I always say is the northernmost Caribbean city.
That's right.
It was in New Orleans had this incredible triangular trade route between Mexico, New Orleans, and Cuba, so it was inevitable that this would happen, and it gets transmitted, it becomes birthed, so to speak, in early rock and roll.
And felt across the pond, as they say. I'm going to go to 1964 with the Rolling Stones with a cover of Buddy Holly's tune, Not Fade Away. I'm going to say how it's going to be.
Well, the Stones were such fans of Chess Records, Keith and Mick, Bill Wyman, Charlie Watts, Brian Jones. Chess was a kind of holy place for them. And as collectors of Chess, they would have dug into all of the Bo Diddley rhythms. So it feels like they're Bo Diddleying Buddy Holly there to me, you know?
But I bet they didn't realize that it went back farther than that, you know, to Cuba,
right,
and then obviously
right
to the motherland, Africa.
Okay, now I'm going to fast forward to 1987. Yes, I gotta have faith. George Michael and Faith.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
That may be the only time you'll hear George Michael on Alt Latino. But,
yeah,
you know. But he's there, man. I got to give him props for that, right?
But it just goes to show you how this rhythm unites us all as Americans. And Americans, and America, as I always say, people have to realize, is not just North America, it's Central and South America.
Right.
So the center of America is not Butte, Montana, but Havana, Cuba, San Juan, Puerto Rico, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, and of course, New Orleans, where it all came together.
What I want to do now is I'm going to divide the show up into rhythms, okay? We just started with the Bo Diddley rhythm. We're going to start with cha-cha-cha, and I'm going to start with a cha-cha-cha called El Loco Cha-Cha-Cha by Rene Touzet. This is from 1957.
There you go, the roots of Louie Louie.
Louie Louie. Well, me got it. So it's a perfect combination of something that was so strictly Afro-Caribbean in the big band cha-cha-cha sound, and this early R&B rock and roll.
And, yeah, you know, there's all of that mix at the time with Latin and African-American artists through R&B bands and through vocal harmony groups that we ended up calling doo-wop later on. And this is a perfect example of that. What an incredible, incredible song.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, the only difference is that The drums are providing the rhythmic propulsion as well as the bass. There's no Afro-Cuban percussion as there was in the René Toussaint piece that you played. The people that heard that record were probably dancing cha-cha-cha to it because cha-cha-cha and mambo were so ubiquitous at the time. So the kids that were dancing knew those steps, and I'm sure they were dancing that to the piece. And others would be doing, as Bill Graham would say, freak dancing, or the early roots of it.
Okay, so that was a specific reference to Louie Louie. Now I'm going to play a cha-cha-cha without a musical reference, so you get the feel for the rhythm and the groove. This is Tito Rodriguez, Los Marcianos Cha-Cha-Cha. Los Marcianos llegaron. Cha-cha-cha, one, two, cha-cha-cha.
Of course, the song is talking about Martians dancing cha-cha-cha. Now, why would they even talk about that? That was the time when science fiction movies in the 50s were happening big time, and space travel was on everybody's mind, and it eventually would come to full fruition with NASA. But music always reflects the time period that it's born in. Yeah, as that did.
And Martians obviously are probably the hippest people in the universe, apparently.
Sure.
Apparently. Okay, now we're gonna listen to this one, okay? You recognize this.
Yeah.
One, two, cha cha cha. One, two, cha cha cha. That's probably Brian Jones hitting that cha 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 on the
tambourine.
On the tambourine. That is a direct cha-cha-cha underneath this classic rock song. This is 1965. There are other examples of cha-cha-cha in rock and roll, but the one I'm going to play now, this one always stood out to me because there's a little bit of cha-cha, but the wheedle, the scratcher, always stood out. And listen to that bass part. It's a tumbao.
Yeah.
It's a Cuban styled tumbao.
Bass line, yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the last great hits by the Incredible Drifters, and really it's coming right at the end. I think the song is 64, and it's coming at the end of the kind of high water mark of the Brill Building, where you had these songwriters and vocal groups, girl groups, and it's this really wonderful urban sound. A lot of the music from that has, I think, Latin influence. That's the perfect example, and it's just what you want to hear every summer.
Yeah, right.
But it also feels like a city song to me.
Yeah.
You know, I think Coney Island
when
I hear that song. I don't think the Outer Banks, right? I'm going right from the city out to the beach.
Yeah.
But that big city mixing of writers and singers that was happening, and they were so young and taking over the charts.
Playing the story of my life, it's really, the memories are flooding in, especially that song. We used to sing that doo-wop style in the projects in the hallway, and I used to do the bass voice. Under the boardwalk.
There you go.
We'd be having some fun, you know. but you always had to have the clapping. Under the boardwalk, we'd be having some fun. Under the boardwalk. Felix. You're killing me, man.
We're going to hear more from this great conversation, but first, we got to take a short break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Squarespace. Measure your end-to-end online performance with powerful website and seller analytics. Get insights on top traffic sources, understand how your reach is growing, and more. Use code NPR to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply. This message comes from NPR sponsor VCU Massey Comprehensive Cancer Center, who, as an NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the country's top 4%, is unconditionally committed to keeping loved ones in their lives. MasseyCancerCenter.org/comprehensive.
In this country, more than 2 local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
On NPR's Throughline,
we cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt, because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. I'm in the studio with Bobby Sanabria and Lauren Anke, and we're talking about the roots of rock and roll, the mambo, or the Latin roots of rock and roll, actually. I've been calling this show Rock and Roll Mambo since I came up with the idea, but it really is mambo. It's cha-cha-cha and a bunch of other stuff. And speaking of mambo, let's play a mambo and then some of the derivatives that came after this. This is from 1949. This is the Cuban musician Perez Prado, who was based in Mexico. Huge, huge hits on all of his stuff. This is called Mambo Number 5 or Mambo Número 5. This is a tune that Lauren brought in.
So Dave Bartholomew, the great recently passed New Orleans musician, he and Fats Domino were writing partners. He led the band. He led Fats's band. He was recording before Fats was, just a giant trumpet player. And he's got some solo R&B hits from the 50s. Who Drank My Beer While I Was in the Rear, for example, which is my personal favorite. Oh, The Monkey Speaks His Mind, another amazing track. But, you mainly knew him as a band leader, but this track he recorded in 56, and when I first heard it, that is a hot band. And, Bobby, you made the point about New Orleans being a Caribbean city, and getting the Latin and Caribbean influence through New Orleans, you just really feel it here.
And it's interesting the way they're playing the feel. It's definitely mambo, but there's obviously no congas on there. They're alluding to the percussion. There's somebody tapping out things on the clave. Sounds like there's a tambourine there. But the drummer is providing everything on the cowbell, etc. But they're playing the rhythm with a swung feel that New Orleans musicians obviously know very well. So instead of playing the bell part straight like this, they're playing. Like that. So it's got that. Instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, that shuffle kind of thing happening underneath. But again, when one culture collides with another culture, a new culture is created. And New Orleans, the clave is part and parcel of the history of New Orleans and the history of the music. It's there in full force.
That could always be Earl Palmer.
On the
probably
drums?
Yeah.
Because he may have moved on by that point, but that in 56 with Dave Bartholomew, that could be Earl Palmer.
Right, and Earl Palmer has said that he used to frequently go to Cuba all the time to just hang out, because he, as he said in some many interviews that I've read with him, he goes, man, I thought New Orleans was hip, but forget it. Cuba? Oh, my God.
Okay, so now while we're thinking about that slower mambo, something else that Lauren brought in, this is Mambo Shevitz. I love this.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man, that music, baby, dig that beat. Like a glass of wine, it's so cool and sweet. Gets my pulse a pulsing and then my feet always start to do the mambo shabbat.
And that definitely sounds like it was recorded in New York City with authentic musicians.
Right?
Yeah. The trumpets, piano, timbales, bongo, and conga.
And New York is the only place you'd mix mambo and shevets.
Yeah.
It's a fun, goofy little song, but it shows you how much of these rhythms were in doo-wop music. I always say that rock and roll was never one thing. It was one thing in Chicago, and it was something else in New Orleans, and it was something else in New York. And you really get so much Latin music coming through the doo-wop groups in New York, and there's some great examples. And some of it is more about the musicians and not the rhythms, right? So you maybe couldn't tell the difference between an African-American doo-wop group and a doo-wop group with a number of Hispanics, but that's a place where so many musicians were coming into the music. So if you think about, I mean, there's fun songs, The Penguins, Hey Señorita, but members of the Frankie Lymon and the Teenagers, you know, Herman Santiago, who claims to have written part of Why Do Fools Fall in Love. There's a whole scene around the doo-wop stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Frankie Lymon and the Teenagers, two of the members were Puerto Rican, New York-born Puerto Ricans. So, and the thing about this novelty mambo that you just played, which is hip, it shows you, it demonstrates orally, sonically, what was happening in New York City at the time. The combination of African-Americans, Puerto Ricans, Cubans, and the Jewish community at the same time coming together. It's all in there in the tune. It's a novelty song. It's fun. Mambo Shevets, of course, you know, that's obviously mambo and Jewish culture. Manischewitz wine, et cetera. It's a play on words on that.
Right.
The singers are African-American. The rhythm section is most definitely probably New York-born Puerto Ricans, who by that time had absorbed Cuban music so well they became part of our DNA at the time. Great, great example. Lauren, fantastic, fantastic choice.
Here's, we're going to play a fast mambo so we can get into some examples of some fast mambo and rock and roll. But here's one of the best that got people out on the dance floor. This is Tito Puente from Mambo Gozon from 1958's Dance Mania. So keep in mind, keep in mind that little beat. And this is a song that the first time I heard it, I thought, well, he's playing a mambo.
Oh yeah.
This is Ray Charles from 1958.
Yeah, again, the height of the mambo era.
Right. So this is What I Say, parts 1 and 2. It's just a jam from Ray Charles.
And again, another hybrid song because there's also so many gospel elements in What Did I Say?
Yeah. Again, you're listening to Alt Latino. My name's Felix. We're in rock and roll mambo cha-cha-cha stage. That's what we're doing this week, looking at the Latin roots of rock and roll. Okay, now I'm going to play something that's called the Afro. Okay, and this is an example of it, a very good example of it from 1954. This is Dizzy Gillespie and his beautiful song Con Alma with Machito's rhythm section laying down this. I'm going to switch over to 1957 and Chuck Berry. This is called Havana Moon.
Havana Moon.
So Chuck Berry's playing that rhythm on the guitar.
Yeah, beautiful.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
We watch the tide easing in. It's loading boom, but hiding wind.
I first heard this tune in the 80s. Santana did a version of it. But going back to this, it's fascinating to me to hear Chuck Berry pick up this beat and reproduce it almost note for note.
One of the things I have to say about Afro song, it was an outgrowth of this neo-African consciousness movement in Cuba in the 1930s that was spearheaded by a writer named Alejo Carpentier. And so composers in Cuba started writing pieces inspired by that. And that's where you get the piece by Ernesto Lecuona, Babalu, which was done by Desi Arnaz, that used that rhythm, if people remember or have seen the I Love Lucy show. That was his signature song. So once again, Africa makes its presence felt through Cuba in the pop music world, in this case, Chuck Berry. Fascinating.
And actually, more than makes its presence, it brings those circles of the diaspora together.
Yeah, most definitely, yeah.
Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. Guantanamera.
Next, you're going to play a medium tempo beat that's often called Guajira. And this is, of course, Celia Cruz.
Is that the version of the song from the Mambo King soundtrack?
It must be, because it's a later version. It's not something that was recorded earlier. The earlier version was a lot faster.
Yeah, that's that. I have a revelation for you. Guess who's playing the timbales?
Is that you?
And the maracas and the claves. That's me, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, because I recognized it right away from the Mambo King soundtrack. Felix, you sly dog, you.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
He's trying to get on your good side, Bobby.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so, okay, so keep in mind that piano part, and now listen to this. This is another song. This is from 1970, I believe.
Burden.
Doesn't it just make you feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric Burden and War, yeah.
So Eric Burden, lead singer of one of the best and most interesting British invasion bands, The Animals, I would say the one that really could take on R&B and the blues and create something really kind of original in that format. By 70, he's left The Animals. He's in California and embraced a whole new thing with War. I mean, you could not have seen this coming from Eric Burden earlier, and it just works, the two of them together. Stunning.
Yeah, it's that track that you heard that in through all of New York City in the summertime in the projects.
Wow.
People are playing basketball to that, playing handball to that, and people are dancing cha-cha-cha to it. I mean, it's just that was one of those I always call it, these types of tunes, project music. Mm. You know, because that these are the types of tunes I heard growing up in the city. Everybody would be playing it. That would be coming out of a bodega in New York City and a speaker, and everybody's grooving to it. And of course, it unifies African Americans, and in the case of New York City, Puerto Ricans into one unified whole.
Right.
Fantastic.
You know, there's a lot of white blues and rock and roll bands who didn't do their best work when they were just doing straight up imitation, or they seemed attracted to African American music of a previous time, right? The passion for the blues. Let's go back. And when I hear things like Spill the Wine and even some of these early rock and roll hits, these white artists who are really interested in some of these Latin beats, it feels very modern. It feels like they're going for American culture as it's existing right in that moment. They're not doing some kind of period piece.
Huh.
And I think it's more creative as a result.
You know, Spill the Wine comes out when Santana's starting to really make a name for himself. He definitely was an influence on everybody at the time period. Before then, artists that were pop and rock artists and R&B artists, they rarely used any authentic percussion or percussionists that could play those rhythms on the recordings. Santana comes along, and all of a sudden you start seeing every rock group utilizing a percussionist, and pop group, and R&B group, etc. A lot of times they hired people that didn't know how to play those instruments, but the fact that they were present for us as Latinos meant something to us. It was like an identity marker for us. In terms of what Lawrence said, I would agree wholeheartedly. People are always looking, artists are always looking for new things to do. And the fact that Eric Burdon did that track, Spill the Wine, he must have heard some authentic Cuban music, or maybe he was influenced by Santana at the time. Who knows? The only that's on you, Felix. You got to give him a phone call.
Okay, that's right. We're going to wrap up this conversation because, like I said, we could go for hours, and we don't have any liquor here, so we can't go for hours, which would make it more fun.
We got to do part two with
him. I know. Let's work on that for
part
next
two
time.
With drinks.
I want to tell you how it's going to be.
And now let's wrap up the show where we started, with the Bo Diddley beat. And I have to fly my colors and play the Grateful Dead doing Not Fade Away. Deadheads, this is 5877, just saying. Many thanks to Bobby Sanabria and Lauren Anke for joining me for this deeper dive and filling in the blanks with their vast knowledge. Thank you so much, guys. And to be continued, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do a whole doo-wop show.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, forget it, man. Oh, I'm in there.
Again, thank you all for listening. If you want to see this playlist, check out our website, npr.org/altlatino. We'll have all the songs and a YouTube video playlist there. Don't forget to write to us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. Again, thank you to Lauren Anke and Bobby Sanabria for joining me. You have been listening to NPR Music's Alt Latino. Thank you for listening.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message comes from NPR sponsor Betterment. Confusing eye contact with a mysterious stranger is never chill, but your investing portfolio should be. Betterment is the investing app that lets you be totally chill about your finances. No more thinking about them more than they're thinking about you. Because Betterment will be thinking about you and how to optimize your investments. Well, you'll be thinking about that mysterious stranger. Betterment. Be invested and totally chill. Learn more at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Taylor Swift has dropped a new album. She is the biggest pop star in the world, and everything she does makes news.
I gasped. I was like, oh my God, I've been there, and you can identify with it.
For a breakdown of Taylor Swift and her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.